This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
There were media reports this week that the Federal Labor Party would be removing the LGBTIQ acronym from its policy platforms. The policies, which run to over 300 pages presently, make multiple references to the acronym. Since those reports, opposition leader Anthony Albanese has clarified that there are no plans to change the ALP's positions on issues of LGBTIQ plus rights or to remove the acronym. Lee Carney, the Director of Legal Advocacy at Equality Australia, was just in Canberra and was speaking to Federal Labor about the alleged change.
So on Monday, there was a series of media outlets who reported that that Anthony Albanese had said in a meeting that they would be removing LGBTIQ plus from the policy platform. And then on Tuesday night, Anthony Albanese made a public statement in Parliament saying that that was not the case. The ALP's position on LGBTIQ plus equality hasn't changed and that he'd actually been misreported in those media articles. There are discussions going on within the ALP about how they talk about a whole range of issues that they look at. I think the clear message when we were in Canberra and meeting with the ALP was that their position has not changed. They are still dedicated to ensuring that they promote equality for LGBTIQ plus people. So the ALP isn't thinking of removing those commitments that they've made about their strong position that, for example, that they support trans and gender diverse people being able to affirm their gender through legal processes as easily as they could, that they support prohibitions on surgeries on intersex children. None of those policy platforms have changed. There's been a lot of, I think, concern because of that misreporting in the media this week, but they have said publicly that they are just as committed as they ever were.
Another issue that's been making headlines centred on whether Labor would retain a shadow minister for equality, something we also asked Lee about.
Compared to some other sectors of the community, it's a real shame that LGBTIQ plus people don't have a minister or a shadow minister who's really focused on our issues that affect our community. And when you look at other groups in our community that do have that dedicated focus and support within Parliament, you can see that they have, real change that they're able to push forward because there's someone dedicated to resourcing and looking at the kinds of issues that various communities are facing. The ALP has said that they changed the shadow ministry to better reflect the ministry set up by the Morrison government. And so some of the positions that don't have a kind of match, I suppose, within the government are no longer progressing forward. I think, obviously Senator Louise Pratt is still a member of our community and as dedicated to LGBTIQ plus equality as she was before. But I do think that moving forward, we would love to see a Minister for Equality in Australia. I think it's something that we should definitely keep pushing for.
And with news that a religious freedom law could well be before the Parliament within weeks, we asked Lee what the likely form of the law might take.
And I think there's probably two different things that people are talking about here. The first is a religious discrimination bill, and the second is some kind of religious freedoms bill, what some people are calling Falau's law. So we support a religious discrimination bill that would do what all the other discrimination bills do for other sectors of the community, and that is to provide a shield of protection for people of faith who might be discriminated against because of their religious beliefs or activities. So what this would do would fill gaps in existing laws to make sure, for example, that a person wouldn't be discriminated against for walking into a shop and wearing a headscarf, or to make sure that someone wasn't denied a service because of expressing a religious belief about their personal private practice that didn't harm anyone else. So that is what the Religious Discrimination Act should do. And as members of the LGBTIQ plus community who have experienced discrimination and know how harmful it can be, we are really keen on standing with people of faith to ensure that they are protected from discrimination as well. But what we don't support is any law that would hand a sword to people of faith to discriminate against others or to harm others. Mm-hmm. And this is where the religious freedoms Falau's law stuff starts coming into it, because what they're asking for here is really laws that would wind back existing protections from discrimination for LGBTIQ plus people, that would say that as long as it's tied to your religion, you can say anything that you want, and there can't be any sanctions against it, even when that those kinds of language or posts on social media cause incredible harm to members of the LGBTIQ plus community.
And what's your sense of what's likely to potentially get through? Have you been engaging with the different political... Well, obviously, you've been engaging with the different political parties. I know you have been because you said it before. Yeah, what's your sense of what potential outcomes are likely?
So nobody has seen a copy of the bill yet. But I think that what's happened this week is, you know, we've been advocating incredibly hard at Equality Australia within Parliament for that clear message that we strongly support protections from discrimination for people of faith, but we don't want to see any further discrimination against LGBTIQ plus people. And we think that, you know, at the moment, at least they're listening to us, they're hearing our call loud and clear. And you would have seen recently that our Prime Minister Scott Morrison and the Attorney General Christian Porter, their comments have been really reassuring, I think. They've said that they're looking to strike about a fair balance. They're not looking at any religious freedoms laws like Falau's law that would kind of cause controversy. They're looking at the religious discrimination bill following the standard architecture of the other discrimination laws. Mm-hmm. I think these are all things that indicate that they are looking to work to make sure that it is a bill that does just protect people of faith without harming others. Having said that, you know, we haven't seen the details of it, and they are going into consultations this week with backbenchers and, you know, MPs within their own party. But they've also committed to consulting with faith groups and consulting with the ALP to see if they can reach a consensus position on the bill. Mm-hmm. This all indicates that they're trying to find a fair balance, but we're actually going to be putting out a petition today that you can find on the Equality Australia website, where we're calling for the Prime Minister to meet with representatives of the LGBTIQ plus community as well. We think that if he's going to be meeting with members of faith groups, including far right faith groups like the Australian Christian Lobby, who are calling for these laws that are really about increasing the scope of religious groups to attack and target LGBTIQ plus people, then he needs to meet with the people who are going to be most affected by those laws.
Absolutely, he needs to. I mean, that just seems you would think that would be a given with the utmost respect to the Prime Minister and his office. You would just think that would be like something that would naturally happen. So that sounds like a very worthwhile initiative. We'll make sure we tweet that out and put it out on social media as well. Look, the discussion around Falau has been exhausting, but it would be good to get in. What is your take on the where we are presently in terms of the Falau case? And just because the details of it have just been gone over so exhaustively, like, I'd actually like to find out what you think as an advocate, why we kind of get dragged into these debates where, like, there's this sense that this is fundamentally symbolic, like the actual substance of this does not really go to, you know, like people have talked about, you know, you should be able to post what you want on social media. And that's a legitimate debate, even though Falau was pretty clearly way beyond the bounds of most of these kinds of conversations. He was explicitly warned a year ago, like literally in negotiations, and he did it again. And there's almost no employee that would not be fired in those circumstances. It might be that, you know, in terms of his freedom of speech, he is being, you know, picked on some level, like, you know, he's been called out for it. But by any standard, you know, he's not gone to jail. He's not been charged with anything. There's no government agency or entity pursuing him because of what he said. He's literally just lost a very lucrative contract. Like, it feels like we're having these debates just at their most superficial level. As an advocate, how do you cut through that? How do you try to... Yeah, I'd be interested to know what your kind of take has been on the debate, if you like.
I think what's been incredibly frustrating about the debate is that I think sometimes we allow ourselves to be drawn into debates that are entirely in their frame. Mm-hmm. So often, you know, there's a reason why the Australian Christian Lobby and, you know, various conservative media outlets keep running the Falau story. And that's because they can frame it as this being, you know, some kind of threat to religious freedom, which it's not. Mm-hmm. And I think we can try and reframe the debate when we're in it anyway, because, you know, obviously LGBTIQ plus people were targeted by the post. So it is definitely very relevant to us. And we can do that by saying things like what people aren't talking about here is the harm that this causes. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about the fact that, you know, with rights come responsibilities. And when you're a celebrity who has a platform, who's representing your organization, that part of your job is hopefully promoting inclusion and diversity and not making statements that make others feel like they're not welcome at your events, mm-hmm. or that they're seen as less than. But unfortunately, the debate hasn't really been about that. It's been about this very superficial level, which you've been saying. And I think something that we are definitely going to be trying to do from here on is to have more meaningful conversations, not just about Falau, but about really what this is about, which is, you know, how are we going to get along in society after this?
Yeah.
You know, and where do we draw the line about what is kind of acceptable conduct and not acceptable conduct, and what sanctions are appropriate? Sometimes the law is a very blunt tool. Sometimes the law is appropriate, but sometimes there are other mechanisms as well. And I think what some of the debates have really been throwing up is the idea, you know, this idea that you shouldn't be able to face any kind of consequences or penalties at all. And that frame is, instead of, for example, looking at the fact that, you know, employers have obligations to ensure that they provide healthy and safe workplaces for their employees, they should be able to make sure that the values that they care about are also, you know, shared and publicly shared, particularly by their employees. This is nothing new. For example, if you work in the public service, there are restrictions on what you could post on your personal social media page. If you're working for a minister, you can't criticize that minister on your personal social media page. But I think what people are still getting their heads around is this idea that your work commitments don't just stop at the office door. Mm-hmm. That if you are representing an organization, then what you do outside of your work does have an impact on the reputation of the organization that you work for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think as well in these debates, one of the things that I find frustrating that I get really angry about is the lack of proportion. You know, I was speaking to Micah Scott from Minus 18, and they just held an event where they consulted with all these trans and gender diverse kids from around Victoria. And like, if you want to talk about freedom of speech, so I'm just, the irony of this is why I'm kind of like laughing to myself there. A lot of these kids can't really speak publicly because if they were identified and put in these positions, they would be trolled, they would be harassed at school potentially, they are already experiencing violence and bullying at just extraordinary levels. And I wonder whether part of the problem I think we have as a community is telling the stories of those members of our community who get victimized and targeted is really hard because it can literally endanger them at times, or they're often very young and they're very vulnerable, and going out into the media in those circumstances is very, very challenging. So I wonder whether, you know, a bunch of people don't see that this is what, to our community at least, it's about, that, you know, all those debates around free speech and contract law, etc., which are important debates, that we all see it through the prism of, you know, kids at school being bullied by other kids who've seen fragments of these debates and these conversations and interpreted it to mean that they have, you know, that this other group has been othered, etc. What can we do to change the visibility, do you think? Like, or do you kind of know what I mean with that debate? Like, I know Equality Australia, the way, the nature of the body, you know, you're focused on law reform. So in a way, this is, you know, not that it's not your area, but I'm interested to know what you think as an advocate about how we tell those stories.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And so something that we've been doing, so I think what's really sad about these debates is that everyone seems to have forgotten the fact that religious schools can still expel and discriminate against LGBTQ students in schools, mm-hmm. and teachers and staff. And so we absolutely understand that it is incredibly difficult for trans and gender diverse school children to speak out about their experiences in schools which are not supportive. And we do not support the idea of, you know, them putting themselves in any risk or, you know, opening themselves up to bullying because their school doesn't have enough structures in place to support them. Mm-hmm. But what we have been doing is making sure that we always do elevate the voices of young people in our advocacy. So we've been doing some trips to Canberra and ensuring that young trans and gender diverse people are with us and meeting with parliamentarians and sharing their stories of being in supportive schools. And, you know, it's amazing to hear a 13-year-old say, this is what my old school was like. This is how it made me feel. But I'm now at this incredibly supportive school where I'm treated so well because of who I am, where I can wear the uniform that best reflects who I am. Mm. And here's how my grades have improved. Here's how many friends I've made. Here's how happy I am. That message is so powerful. And it's one that I think, you know, obviously when we're talking about, you know, children and advocacy, there's various things that we can do to make sure that we are protecting them from some of the trolls out there and the nasty elements that are going to be attacking them. But I think doing that in a controlled way and making sure that we are providing those opportunities for young people to have their voices heard is really important. At Progress 2019, I was so privileged, I think, to share a panel with a 13-year-old boy called Theo, who's at a Jewish school in Victoria. And he was talking about what it was like, you know, coming out at his bar mitzvah and then going to the school and having the school support him and having all of his friends stand by him when he was going through this, you know, quite tricky position, and all of the opportunities that have been open to him, you know, in theatre and activism and because of his decision to live his authentic life. And I think that's the message that we need to be hearing more of.
Absolutely. And we need to, this applies to, like, I think Joy generally does a good job of this, but it's a lesson for us here too at the Informator to lift those voices up.
I will just flag. I think when we're talking about feeling exhausted from these debates and what it feels like to have to read these posts as if, and, you know, I think Sally Rugg spoke about it really well, as if it's this philosophical thing that doesn't have an impact on us. It's really important to think about self-care and the fact that we don't have to engage with these debates all the time. There are things that we can do if we're really struggling to reach out and seek help. And I'm really excited that Switchboard Victoria has been working on an incredible resource about this that'll be coming out tomorrow on their website, which is about, you know, reminding people of what you can do if you're feeling like the religious freedoms debates are getting to you. And it's got a whole series of really great little tips and reminders, you know, that you're loved, and of ideas of things that you might want to do if you need to escape or if you need to talk to someone. And of course, you can always give Switchboard a call.
That was Lee Carney, Director of Legal Advocacy from Equality Australia. It's predicted that a bill on religious freedom may arrive in the Parliament as soon as July the 22nd.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.